is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pool List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Doing all right. This is an interesting episode because this is our first real episode going out next week. We had a few in the chamber. I know you like that saying.
We've been doing AI episodes for the last couple of weeks.
But we've been doing some of our pre-recorded episodes. So we pre-recorded them, but then they were also like recorded as if like, hey, this is our first episode. So they had to go out as like our first episode. We have a few left in the reserve, so that's good. But here we are. We're going to start things off with DC, and it's not because DC doesn't have as much news, but it's because their list is shorter than Marvel's. Actor Michael Cudlitz has been cast as Lex Luthor in Superman and Lois Season 3. You probably know him from The Walking Dead. I don't know how much of The Walking Dead you watched.
No, I would always start again, be like, oh, everybody likes it, you know? And then so I'd start watching it, and I think I only ever made it to Season 3, maybe. Like, they were in the Governor's thing. That's it.
So you never saw Negan and all those?
No, I didn't see what's-his-name get his head smashed in. I didn't.
Invincible? Mark Grayson?
Yeah, poor Mark Grayson. Yeah, that dude does not have good luck.
No, he doesn't. He catches a lot of beatdowns.
Yeah, get eaten by eyeball UFOs and...
I did not know what you were talking about. It took me like a solid 30 seconds to process that. I get it now. You're talking about Nope.
Yeah, yeah.
But at first I was like, whatever that means.
What's an eyeball you have? So I like that chuckle. Like, Simon's tripping. Had a long day.
Simon is tripping. Michael Cudlitz played Abraham on The Walking Dead. Really, really, I liked his character a lot, but he was like a military hillbilly. And now I know if you're a huge fan of Abraham from Walking Dead, you probably won't appreciate me calling him a hillbilly, but he was a hillbilly.
Hey, you know, we live in the area. It's okay.
Yeah, I got hillbillies in my family. I know they're not listening, so I can say that. I'm interested to see how he plays it. Lex Luthor is always an interesting role. It's really hard to... It seems like it would be simple to do, but then you have...
With Jesse Eisenberg, I didn't hate because he was basically playing, you know, the Social Network, like he was playing that guy. So I didn't mind the neuroticism. It's the script was just really bad.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think plagues the DCEU did plague the DCEU was there was a lot of fluff. So there were things that could have been cool with that Lex Luthor, but they just never got to because Zack Snyder cannot make a movie under 5 hours.
Can't. Yeah. He's like, you need it for the whole story. It's like, huh? Yeah.
I heard someone was talking about that Rogue Moon movie that he has coming out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're saying that's like 4 hours, but you have to watch it in like two.
I mean, he can make a good 4 hour movie. So I guess
he can. That's
something there. It's like the golden age of cinema when there was like a intermission.
Intermission. Yeah, it's true. Speaking of Superman and Lois going into Season 3 with Michael Cudlitz, HBO Max has canceled Titans and Doom Patrol. Now, I wanted to make sure you were sitting before I said this, dude.
Golly. Oof.
How do you feel, man? How are you feeling?
I'm hurt.
Shocked your world.
Titans, I don't know if it got better after the second season. It was goofy, so I don't care about that. But Doom Patrol was a legitimately good show, so I'm sad to see that.
Yeah, Titans was my guilty pleasure. I knew it wasn't good, right? I knew it wasn't good. But I enjoyed watching it like a crappy soap opera, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was a step above the WB. Yeah. Not in the script, but in like the weird romanticism and shit.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I don't know why. I'll never say that it was good. It just had superheroes in it, and I think I didn't have anything to watch, and so it was on. I mean,
it's cool to see one, the chick that plays Dove.
Yeah, super hot.
All of them pretty. All right. But a guy that played Robin, then Nightwing.
Yeah, he was good.
I liked him. Pretty man. but yeah, also right. good. He was good at that role. I mean, it wasn't bad. Yeah.
Fuck, it was the first time we got a. It was the first time we got a Nightwing suit. I mean, yeah, that was cool. You don't count. Even though Chris O'Donnell wore the Nightwing suit, they never called him Nightwing. They still called him Robin.
Yeah.
But very clearly was the Nightwing suit.
Makes it a little cooler, nipples and all, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that cod piece, I mean, Jesus.
Have you seen the Hot Toys of that? Not to go on the toy talk.
Well, but... I seen the Hot Toys of the Robin suit with the collar.
Mm-hmm.
Like the red. He had like the collar for the cape. And Batman Forever, when he first became Robin, and he was hiding his batarangs in his codpiece. And that thing was like a free. That thing was like
reaching
a
around in there.
Knapsack, man. That thing is. Like...
He had one of those, like, I don't know. His balls were all swollen or something. He had one of those conditions.
Did you see? There's an episode of Harley Quinn. I got into that show recently and caught up on it. Surprisingly, my wife doesn't typically get into superhero stuff, but she thought it was funny, so we binge watched it. And there is an episode where Batman's fighting Bane in like a bat armor, and Bane's kicking the shit out of him, and he has like a bat penis rocket that comes out of his crotch.
Wow,
that's got to be what's in there.
That show is fairly funny, and I did enjoy it, but it was like almost like Family Guy. It was too neurotic. I couldn't watch it. It was too ADD.
Yeah, yeah, that's my thing. She was into it, and I was watching it in the background while I was doing something else, because there's a lot of cool obscure comic book references that I get a kick out of.
Like Kite Man, that's great.
Yeah, but as far as like really watching it, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And, it's almost too much for the background too.
Yeah. Almost. And you're referencing my wife, she watched Doom Patrol. She would not watch Titans. She watched the first season of Titans. She was like, What are we doing here? I'm not watching. You know I'm not watching this. And she liked Doom Patrol. But when I told her it was canceled, I was like, man, I loved Doom Patrol. I really did. I'm a huge fan of obscure characters. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I liked it. It was really enjoyable, interesting. And I loved the way it was filmed. But it was too weird for me. Like, as a normal viewer, she was like, it was just too weird for me.
Yeah.
And I said, I get that. Yeah. I get that. I appreciate her bowing out of stuff like that. And, you know, she was watching The Arrow with me, but there was this really just totally cringy moment where the Green Arrow was interrogating somebody and he was like, what color are your shoes? And this was like at the beginning of the episode. And she said, can we change this?
God, that show is so stupid.
I don't want to watch this. I love you. And I really try to embrace your world, but I cannot watch this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
Speaking of things that I cannot watch anymore, I'm just gonna go because I love this segue. Is the trailer for Shazam: Fury of the Gods? Now there's a new trailer. That old trailer, I've seen that old. Well, I'm not even. I don't want to watch the new trailer. What I'm saying is that's something that I saw too many damn times. It kept showing up on everything. I just threw a truck at a dragon. I love my life.
I thought the first movie was super corny. I did. I know you like it. I know a lot of people like it.
Oh, it's definitely corny.
I don't have any complaints about it. You know what I mean? I don't think it was bad, but I also was just like,
eh. Yeah, I mean, of all of those movies, I liked it the best. I also liked
Shazam. Sure. For sure. That's one of their better movies.
Shazam is like a really interesting character to me. More so when they make it like Billy Batson is like an old man. Like, that's my favorite form of Shazam, where he's like, if I turn, like in Dark Knight Returns 2 or whatever, it's like, if I turn back, Billy Batson will die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the Hulk thing. It's like when Hulk is, or Bruce Banner is an old ass man, he's like, I can't turn back into Bruce Banner because that's it.
Yeah. He's but done. Anyway, the new one, I don't know if it'll be good, but I know that the trailer is bad. And I'm tired of seeing it. So
it just, you know, at this point in the DCEU, which is the remnants of the DCEU, I don't know why they would be using obscure Shazam villains. Shazam is already obscure enough,
right?
But they're using even more obscure Shazam villains for the movie. And I know it's part of like The Rock saying that he didn't want a cameo in it at all, which is weird.
It's weird.
But it just seems like it kind of sucks, man. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
I love that lady. Whatever her name is. Helen Mirren.
Yeah. She's got too much surgery going on, man.
Mm, She could still probably get it right now.
She can get it. But I'm saying that her face looks a little stretched. I feel.
Yeah.
She was pretty before.
If I was rich, I would do that too.
I don't know, man. I'd be too afraid of fucking up my face.
Yeah.
It's already pretty fucked up already. I don't need it.
Speaking of, well, I didn't mention a lot of people came after James Gunn. I mean, that guy has been just getting it every which way ever since they took over DC Studios. And like, he's canceling everything. He's picking this up. He wants the Guardians of the Galaxy to be in the DCU because he mentioned like wanting to work with people that he worked with before.
Yeah.
So they're like, he's poaching everybody from the MCU. How dare you? And he's like, I'm not. Let's be realistic. I'm not doing that. That's fucking weird. Just for me to say that I want to work with somebody in the future. Why wouldn't I?
Right.
And he put out a thing. He was like, hey, I didn't have anything to do with canceling those two shows. I enjoyed those. That was the decision made before they brought us on. And in reality, why would you want them to continue those shows if they're going in a whole new direction? Why does anybody give a shit about any of the movies or shows that they have right now?
Well, that one's the weird thing about that one is like, I don't feel like it was all that connected, but maybe that's just, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and it was in that weird area where it was on the DC Universe app. Then they created HBO Max, and then they made it like a HBO Max original. Mm-hmm. It was a weird in-between phase. Yeah, well, I don't feel like it was connected to like the main DCEU at all. Speaking of DC and relaunches and reboots and things like that, we don't really talk a lot about comic book news during trending topics, but this is something that I thought was interesting. I'm loving this direction that they're going in the comic books, but DC Comics has announced that the Titans will replace the Justice League in their Dawn of DC relaunch. I love Teen Titans. So the Titans are just like the grown-up versions of the Teen Titans we grew up with. The Justice League failed to save the day during Dark Crisis or whatever this last infinite, whatever crisis that they just went through. And they said, hey, Nightwing, we're going to let you run the show for now. If you need us, let us know. We're going to go off on our own adventures. The Titans will be sort of the saviors of the world, which I like, man. I mean, switch it up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've had so many weird relaunches that it's, yeah, why not? You know?
Yeah. And this is sort of a safe relaunch because it's like in universe rather than like rebooting everything. The Justice League is just like, yeah, we're not going to be the Justice League right now. We're just going to, I'm going to go do my thing. Batman's going to be weird and broody. We all have our own lives. So I appreciate that. I always thought the Justice League was too powerful anyways.
Well, there's not a whole lot of point to the Justice League. It's like, you know, Superman can do it.
Yeah, Superman and Martian Manhunter and Wonder Woman, of course. Just trying to be inclusive. Yeah. They don't need anyone else. They need Batman because he pays the bills, but everyone else, maybe the Flash, to get their coffee really fast. Moving over to some Marvel news, I really want to get your weigh-in on this. Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix have announced that Marvel's Avengers will cease operations later this year with no further development planned. The game will no longer add new content or features after March 31st of this year, and official support for the game will end on September 30th, 2023. They say, you know, a lot of times they just pull those games outright whenever they cease support, but the gameplay will continue to be available, multiplayer, everything after the official support ends until it like breaks.
Yeah.
Essentially. What do you think about this, man?
Well, now's the time to jump into it, I think, because now all the shit that people have been grinding for is free.
It starts on March 30th.
Yeah.
March 30th, everything's free, which is kind of like a kick of the balls to the people that spent hundreds of dollars or whatever, but.
Well, I mean, nobody forced anybody to, because it's all, you know this, and anyone that's played the game knows that the only thing that was really, you could buy like battle cards, so you could basically get skins and stuff. So,
skins and emotes and things like that.
Yeah. So I don't know that I never thought that the game was terrible. I enjoyed playing it with you guys. But it was monotonous. That was the real problem.
It was like a 30. So if they, I think they have like a raid type thing. So like jumping on and doing that for an hour, 30 to 45 minutes with some friends, that seems fun to me.
Yeah.
And playing it, like grinding it, just was impossible. And that's the thing, is like to do raids and stuff, you have to grind to a certain level. But to do that, you have to play the same three missions over and over and over. And
yeah. It's like, yeah. And it was fun, you know, but then you'd have to, you couldn't just play with one character because everybody's playing with that. Everybody wants to be Iron Man. Everybody wants to be whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like when it first came out, it's like, all right, who's going to be,
be Hulk. Black, yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to be the, yeah, nobody wanted to be the Hulk. Who's going to be Black Widow? Actually, Black Widow wasn't that bad.
Black Widow was good. Yeah. Hulk sucked.
I loved Captain America, but Captain America wasn't really top tier.
Loved Captain America too.
At any rate, I mean, but you have to have at least two characters, so you know you could play with certain groups, and that wasn't fun, as you said, because you had to grind.
Yeah, and at least they're not, you know, in defense of, I'm not defending any big corporations. I'm not that guy. I'm just saying, in their defense, it's not like they're just like, hey, man, you gave us $100. Sucks to suck. They're doing a thing where they're transferring any like purchase credits into XP bonuses, like all kinds of like random perks that you get. So you still get something for your money. It's not like they're just trying to give you the finger and run away with your money.
Yeah, they're not just pulling the plug.
Yeah. And so I'm with you though. I think this is the time to play. I think more people will play now, honestly, which is weird.
It continues to happen with these games like this, these live service games. You know, they'll come out for the cost, or they'll come out with the cost, and then some people jump on. You always have your early adopters, but then after a while, people jump off because it's like there's not enough to do, there's not enough players to support spending a bunch of money on it. And so you run into this thing where they'll either make it free to play or they'll quit supporting it. And here you see that they're, you know, not supporting it anymore. So they should have just made it. The point is they should have just made it free to play to begin with things that you could purchase.
Well, I don't play it anymore. Every now and then I get the itch to download it, even though it takes 24 hours to download.
Destiny, they make medicine for that.
Destiny did it right, man. They made it free to play, and then they have these expensive ass, like, story updates. Like every 6 months you pay $100, you get all the new shit, the new story, and things like that. You don't have to do that though. You can play the game, you can grind and get whatever things you want. I think they're the only person that did it. They did it right. They're like, yeah, fuck it, we'll keep it going. We have a devoted fan base. And I think Marvel's Avengers, if they had a better end game structure, they could have played it that way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm the same as you. I don't jump on Destiny, but I enjoyed that game for what it was. What happened?
I get the itch every now and then, man. I'm like,
Yeah, it was fun to just do whatever. I think for Destiny, it was also the grind, but it was trying to find enough people that could commit the time to do like a quest.
Raid.
Yeah, the raid, especially if you have to wait until somebody figured out all the shit before.
Yeah. Luckily, we had some friends that were like hardcore geeks. And when we were hardcore doing raids, I just had my first kid. And so it's just like, all right, I'm going to mute myself for a little while, but I'm still here. And so it's like, it's 8 hours, at least an 8 hour block where you know you have to like commit to.
Sound like you said your first kiss.
I had my first kiss. And so, you know, I was distracted. I did re-download it because I've been bitten the ass too many times where a game gets taken off of the PlayStation store, and I'm like, I'll get the itch to play it one day, and I don't have it in my library.
Yeah. Well, like, with that one, at least it's there.
Yeah.
No matter what, if you... So...
And let's move over to some EU news. David Dastmalchian.
Shemalemalongdong.
That guy. The guy that played... He worked for Ant-Man. He was one of the criminals that worked with Ant-Man in the Ant-Man 1 and 2. He was also Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Dave. He's returning for a second role in the MCU. He's one of the... I think there's like 10 of them that have multiple roles in the MCU. He's going to be playing one of the Freedom Fighters in the Quantum Realm, which I think it's pretty funny.
That's funny, but why?
I think he's just playing a voice. And I get it, but why? Why? What's so important about his voice to get him to play and then like not give that role to someone else?
I don't know. Nicole hates that. Like she maybe he signed a contract and they're like, here's one of your movies.
That's what I was probably thinking. He was probably like, or they saw his success as Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad, and they were like, just sign him for multiple movies. We don't know what he's going to play yet. Just make it happen. Give him fucking 12 movies.
Yeah, they kind of, I don't know. No, my wife hates that, man. She's like even Chris Evans, she's like, dude, God, how many fucking movies is he in?
I hate characters. I hate big actors as voice actors in movies, opposed to like the actors that will play them in the games or cartoons that they do on the shows.
Well, I mean, she hates that he's like,
she hates Chris Pratt.
No. She hates that Chris Evans played Human Torch.
Oh.
He was in the loser, like that he was in several comic book movies as different character. Same with Ryan Reynolds. She's like, so he's the Green Lantern and Deadpool.
Oh, that one.
It's just the that point one's is. A little
I get it. Oh, I do get it.
She's like, man, they just need to. Are they like bad actors or?
They're really good agents. That's what it is. Speaking of really good agents, Zoe Saldana. I don't want to talk about this too long. I watched Avatar last week. I had no desire to see Avatar, but my wife wanted to see it. So it's like a weird time slot because it's a 3-hour movie. So it's like, we're not taking the kids to see it. Right. And we can't see it at like 2:00 in the afternoon because we have to get the kid. We have to see it as soon as the movie theater opens. That's the only time we can see it. And so one morning we went and we watched Avatar. And I forgot she was even in it. But later on that day, I saw that she is the only actor in history to appear in 4 movies that have earned $2 billion worldwide. Now, granted, it's 2 franchises.
Yeah.
But damn, that's crazy.
I'll tell you what, that was the reason why I was like strangely attracted to that cat lady. I was like, I figured it out later.
I knew. I knew there was, I guess I knew there was something. I even told my wife, I was like, I have weird feelings about that lady, man.
I don't know what's wrong with me right now. It's like that episode of Batman the Animated Series when Catwoman actually becomes a cat.
Or that episode of Gargoyles where her brother becomes like a cat person. Not saying that he was hot, but I was like, I get it. I've become a Black Panther man with wings. I get it.
You're like a furry the next day. Yeah, I don't know.
It's all blurred out behind me because there's just like a coat rack full of like different mascot suits.
Oh, that's great.
I thought that was great, man. Zoe Saldana, shout out to you. I know she's made enough money to quit. I would quit. I have so much respect for the actors that stay in it for the craft because I would quit so fast to not do anything for the rest of my life, man.
Yeah, well, you got to pay taxes eventually, so.
Yeah, or you just die.
Or you're like Wesley Snipes saying you don't pay taxes.
Yeah, or you just go to jail. Yeah, or you just go to a really fancy jail for a couple of years. The Oscar nominations came out last week. Don't care about the Oscars at all. So not going to go over the nominations. But I feel like it's a point of reference as far as what we talk about. Angela Bassett has been nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She's the first one in the MCU to get nominated for an Oscar. And it's really just because I think she's the top. She's one.
Fine.
Beautiful woman. I mean, I watch anytime there's like a promo of her talking about the movie, I watch it. And sometimes I watch it on mute, man. Not that I don't appreciate her voice, but she's a beautiful lady, man. Good for her.
Very pretty lady. Yep.
Good for her. Other than that, I don't give a shit about the Oscars. People are like, oh my God, let's talk about the Oscar snubs. Snubbed movies. Nope, didn't get anything. That sucks. I like Nope a lot.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I mean, yes, it's a really good movie. But even I, as far as like his movies go, it wasn't my favorite. I really enjoyed it.
It wasn't mine either. It wasn't that it was too confusing. I was just like, I was too confused at the end of it.
For me, it was once you kind of get a feel. Like, I love the concept. But after a while, like realizing what it was, like knowing what it was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is
less interested.
Yeah, less interesting.
Yeah.
Still a cool concept. I like great where movie. You're going. Yeah. And I enjoyed the movie a lot.
Ayo Edebiri has joined the cast of the Thunderbolts. We also know that the Thunderbolt, we have no distinct role. I haven't seen her anything else but Black Axers. So I got to shout you out on the podcast. Speaking of Thunderbolts, go ahead. Speaking of Thunderbolts, the word on the street is that Thunderbolts will likely be feel like a Black Widow sequel, which I think they should probably nip that in the bud and stop using that for promotion purposes.
Yeah,
it was Marvel Studios Director of Visual Development, Andy Park, said that. So they should probably like fire that dude. Like, hey, man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with Black Widow. It's nothing to do with Black Widow.
Cut it. So I read somewhere that maybe Ghost isn't going to be in this one.
I did too, but I think she said that she came out and said that she is in it.
She's like, I'm just invisible the whole time.
Yeah, she's like, I'm in it. Trust me. I got paid. I'm excited to see Thunderbolts. I know a lot of people aren't because without Ghost, it's just an all cast of super soldiers, which is fine.
Like Yelena isn't even a, she's just like a.
No, she just had a hysterectomy, man. That's it.
Man, yeah, they just took her guts out.
And she lost her natural woman power. That's her thing.
She didn't lose her power over me.
There is a rumor, though, that the original script for Thunderbolts had Sentry as a super soldier. Now, in the press release, or in this like rumor, they said, like in the comics, and I really don't know enough about Sentry in the comics. I did read it back in the day, and it's the story that I read is him going around the Marvel Universe reminding characters of himself. So he would go to Spider-Man. It was like this regular dude, like you or I, middle-aged man. And he would be like, hey, Spider-Man, remember I saved the world. We went on adventures together. Hey, Bruce Banner, remember we're best friends. And it's a cool book because as the reader, we don't remember that either because it never happened. But he tells this tale of like how he saved the universe and nobody remembers him because it was like his sacrifice. And so that's, for me, that was like one of the best introductions for a new character.
Yeah.
And then in Original Sin, Sentry has always been like the Superman character. He has a crazy side because there's the void and he has like split personality, but he's always been like a Superman character. And in Original Sin, you learn that he wasn't a super soldier experiment. He was a junkie that broke into a lab and thought that these were drugs that he was taking and took all of these super soldier experimentation drugs. And then he became the Sentry, which I love that way more than like, he's just a super soldier, but with flight.
I like that a lot. But can you imagine the one person that didn't, like, the guy comes into work the next day and he just like, fuck, and then cleans it up and doesn't realize that, like, if he just shot up all those drugs, he could be.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see. Sentry apparently is the bad guy. I assume that they're going to do some sort of super soldier thing. And Elaine is using that as her secret weapon. I say Elaine because I watch a lot of Seinfeld and I don't know what her name is in the MCU.
I don't know what it is either. Purple hairish.
Yeah. Elaine is going to use him as her soldier. And then it's going to be sort of, I feel like it's going to be sort of Suicide Squad-esque. We'll see.
I hope I don't feel suicidal when it's over.
Yeah. It's good. I hope none of these actors are going to make it out of this. I'm sure it'll be fine. We get Harrison Ford Red Hulk in it, I think. So cheers to that. I think he's going to be in the Captain America movie. I don't know which one comes first. More rumors. Ryan Gosling's name is in the mix for a role in the Fantastic Four movie.
I bet they're going to have him play the Thing.
I like Ryan Gosling. I really do. I think he's fine. I like most of the things that he's in. I think he's too old to be, because my automatic assumption is Johnny Storm. And yeah. I just think he's past that. He's past that stereotype of like hot young actor.
I mean, he's still hot.
He is still, yeah. Hey man, this is me projecting.
Even if he's
old like me.
Slightly less young.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to make him like a Reed Richards. Obviously he's a Johnny Storm, but I think it would be a cool out of left field thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's probably a better person for that role, but if they can make it work,
and that's all we got for trending topics, guys.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and thanks for letting us freshen up. This is the section of
to go to the powder room.
This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade. I'm always going to call it a trade review. Simon calls it a trade review off air.
I say it secretly in the corner of the room. Yeah. Say it like under my breath.
Trade. When we get done recording and we stop and we hit finish, he's like, "That was a good review," and that's it. He won't say it during the episode though. So
no, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
Yeah, he won't. This episode, I wanted to switch it up a little bit. We've been reading a lot of superhero books and just sort of like that genre these past couple episodes. So I wanted to switch it up. I know when we usually switch it up, we go fantasy. That's our usual break from superhero world. But in this book, I never knew, like I kind of got the gist of it from other people. I do love Chip Zdarsky. I kind of got the gist of it, like what it was. It was more rooted in real world. And I don't think we've read a few books that are rooted in the real world. And so I figured it would be a nice sort of interlude from our superhero antics or fantasy antics. So this week we're reading a book called Public Domain, written, the art, the cover are done by Chip Zdarsky. And before we even start, I'm going to say I have such an appreciation for that because Chip Zdarsky is a comic book writer. He's not an illustrator at all. There was last year, there was an anniversary of Spawn. Todd McFarlane reached out to all the best comic book artists out there. And there were two of my favorite writers that like hit him up like, "Hey, we're not comic book artists, but we'd love to be involved with this because we're huge fans of you, huge fans of Spawn." And so Donny Cates did a Spawn cover, and I don't know if Chip Zdarsky did a Spawn cover, but I know that he has done a Spider-Man cover before, and just sort of like, "Hey, I'm not an artist, you know, I can doodle a little bit. I'm not an artist, but I do appreciate that part of the business." Mm-hmm. And for him to do an entire volume, it's freaking wild to me, man.
Yeah,
it's freaking wild. And the confidence that you have to have, I would imagine, to write, do the covers, illustrate, I don't even know who colored it. It to me, it's a huge task.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets a few bonus points.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, definitely, man. As someone who drew like sequential art for our comic, yeah. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's grueling. And maybe, you know, that's sort of the secret is like someone writes a script and they pass it off into a illustrator and they kind of interpret it and communicate with this. You can kind of do it hand in hand, like you're writing and you can also illustrate. So maybe that is a sort of loophole, but I don't imagine it's any easier to do that.
Yeah. Well, at least you don't have to try to explain your vision to somebody, but you still have to figure out how to put pen to paper. So,
and do sequential art efficiently, which we'll talk about if he does it or not. We're reviewing Public Domain. I don't even know if I said that. Chip Zdarsky's indie book. He's writing Batman right now. DC's big title. He's writing Daredevil. We reviewed first volume Daredevil and it was good. And he's still writing Daredevil and it's still very good. So he's writing two of the biggest books from the two biggest comic book publishers and then still wrote and illustrated this. Damn. What's and that? I didn't wake up. I woke up at noon today.
I didn't wake shit.
I didn't wake up at noon, but yeah. In comparison to this, yeah. I feel like I woke up at noon today. Public figuratively. Domain. Yeah. I have kids. You know damn well I didn't wake up.
No.
Yeah. Or child abuse. Public domain, issue number one, start, story, or start. Start, story, verse. Public domain, issue number one, story, art, and cover by Chip Zdarsky. Sid Dallas is responsible for pop culture's greatest hero, The Domain. But his sons, Miles and Davis, have a complicated relationship with both the creation and their creator. Can they convince their dad to fight for their family's legacy? This is a fun and heartfelt series written and illustrated by Eisner winner Chip Zdarsky, who did Sex Criminals, which I cannot wait to read with you. That's going on our OnlyFans because it's graphic. And Daredevil. It explores a wild, alternate world where comic book creators are poorly acknowledged and compensated for their creations. That would never happen in the real world. Ever.
Yeah.
It was a bit on the nose in this book, and I kind of love it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about Public Domain? I know it was it's different than what we've usually read and what we have read, but what do you think going into issue number one?
Well, I mean, really, honestly, I was curious when the thing was going to happen to make this not just a book about normal people. Like, for the long, I was like, okay, all right, so something's going to happen.
When's the reality going to alternate or whatever?
Yeah. There's so much to this, and I do, even though it is on the nose, like you said, I do really appreciate, like, what he's saying with this book. And it kind of harkens back to Superman's creators and like how they got the shaft, and
a little bit of Stan Lee, a little bit of Jack Kirby. Like, we got a Stan Lee-esque figure, even though it's like an evil Stan Lee. We get a Stan Lee character, and our more protagonist character is in the Jack Kirby realm as far as like the artist creating characters.
Yeah, I really appreciate. I think it's funny, this guy's like a reporter and he's doing fluff pieces, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, you wouldn't even have a fucking job. He's like a web reporter, I guess. He definitely can't be like a newspaper reporter.
Especially after we see him do an interview.
Yeah, he does this interview with basically an actor that's playing the character.
I'll just say Chris Evans. He's like a douchebag Chris Evans.
Yeah, to set the scene, he's like the son of the creator of Sid Dallas, of the creator. So he has an interview. He doesn't want to do it. He's talking to Chris Evans. Chris Evans is kind of a dick about it because he's like, it's just a movie, you nerd. You know, like, this helped me pay for my house.
Dialogue was so on the nose. I mean, it was like, it's a mix of, you know, we make fun of a lot of the like right wing woke people a lot, like the people that complain about woke agenda or whatever. We make fun of those people a lot on the podcast, and it was a little bit of that written into like douchebag celebrities.
Yeah,
this is a very meta book, man. It really is. And before we get into that, I was not interested. The first issue, I was like, I'm struggling to get through it.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I really was. And I'm not going to tell you if I continued that or not, but I was really struggling to get through it. I did find this part entertaining because you hear that a lot. You hear that regurgitated celebrity talk. This guy's interviewing them and he's like, what do you know, what brought you to this? And he was like, oh, it's the modern mythology and hero movies are, you know, that's it. I'm glad to be a part of the modern mythology of superhero movies. And he's like, comic books.
He's like, comic books
are the modern mythology and you're playing that.
Yeah. This is a repetition of the modern mythology, which is comic book. And he's like, yeah, modern mythology. He's like, stop saying that.
Yeah. And then he's like, I read all the comic books, which we always hear all the actors say. Yeah. I read all the comic books about the character that I played. Jasper is the co-creator, the writer to the artist, whatever. I can't remember his first name, but it's, or his last name. Jasper, though.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Jasper, he's a huge influence on me. And this dude's like, no, man. Sid Dallas created this character and he illustrated him. And then this guy, they just kind of get into it and he decides to leave. He's like, nah, fuck this. This is a stupid meeting. You don't really understand the you know, what you have.
Yeah.
We're learning more that he has a complicated relationship with his dad. Like, he appreciates the gravity of, like, who his dad is, and he's frustrated that other people don't see it, or that his own dad doesn't see it. And then there's... Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, his dad seems like a really pleasant fellow, yeah. A really nice guy, but he was always working. Like, he's the workaholic dad, which is weird as, like, someone... Well, I don't know. I don't know the profession of being a comic book artist, but I do know that as artists, usually artist parents are, like, real chill, and they're, like, really involved. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting that he was, like, the chill dad, but also too busy to hang out with his kids.
Yeah. And so he leaves the interview, or he's trying to leave the interview, but then the douchebag Chris Evans character is like, hey, man, I don't give a fuck. Like, I paid my mortgage with this. The person that you mentioned is an idiot because they wasted they're a nobody. They're a loser. And he punches the shit out of our douchebag Chris Evans character, which I really appreciate him.
Definitely deserve that.
It's weird. This first issue is weird because, again, it's just like we get introduced to a lot of characters, like a lot. And it's hard for me to grasp onto, like, anyone. Even Miles, the person that we've seen the most, it's really hard for me to grasp onto anyone yet. And it was almost a disconnect for me. I was like, I can't really focus on anyone. We get the assistant from Jasper. We get the agents. We get his boss. We have all these characters that have equal dialogue. And it's hard for me to focus on, like, who is the main character.
Yeah, definitely. That being said, they're also just all white folks. Like, all these white men kind of, like, they're not hard to tell apart, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know if this is an important person. I don't know who this person is yet. Like you said, why is this person needing an assistant? Kind of when it goes into talking to the writer of the series, that's the one that actually has the money. It's like, who is this? Like, who is this person that's demanding people around? You kind of infer, but there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah,
and then we get, like, introduced to his brother, and
which is our friend Jared Fisher.
Yeah,
I could not see him.
Yeah, he does
that role. Like, the entire every time I read his voice, it was like my friend Jared. Like, well, what about you?
that's not what Jared sounds like.
I don't want to spoil this, but my score will be reflected on this. I don't think there is a black person in this book.
Yes, there is.
Is there? He's like, there's one.
There's probably one. I don't remember. Actually, as I was saying that, I was like, damn, there's a lot of white folks. I don't know if there's a black person in here either.
I'm going to tell you right now, someone that finished it.
Yeah, split second. Yes, there is one. I knew I saw her. She's on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah, she's the bitchy. one black person is the bitchy assistant or manager for someone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's them, man.
That tracks, right?
Yeah. All your friends are bitchy, stuck-up assholes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, we get introduced to the brother, and the brother is... Miles, at this point in the story, seems like the successful... We all have it. You have siblings. I have siblings. You have the more successful sibling, and then you have sort of the fuck-ups, even if they are successful in their own right. Right? If my family's listening, we know which one I am.
but his brother is more of the, I wouldn't say black sheep, but he's the less successful, like the one that they kind of have
free to bail spirit, out of jail. Hippie. Yeah. And so it's funny because the brother we introduce him to, and I feel like it's the perfect panel to introduce the character because he seems like he's saving the day. He's like, I'm coming to save my brother out of jail. And he's like, how much is it to bail someone? I have $24. Is it?
Yeah.
So you still have to pay. Is bail still a thing?
Yeah.
I thought that was freaking great.
I think it's funny that the celebrity guy didn't press charges for being such a dick. But hey.
It's probably like management. It's probably like they say, like they don't want to be involved with they're doing press for a movie. They don't even want to touch it.
I was going to say, there's another black person. I found him.
Police officer?
No, he's the he's on the red carpet too. Like, hey, keep it moving.
Janitor. Oh yeah, he works on the red carpet. Tip yeah. Zdarsky, dog. What happened? Do you hate black people?
He doesn't have a problem with the Asians and or Hispanics though.
Like most white people.
Yeah.
Chip Zdarsky wrote Spider-Man Life Story. So you're on thin ice.
Did he really?
He did.
Oof. So he's not all bangers.
Yeah. He's not all bangers. That's the thing. He's not.
Didn't remember that. Oof.
He wrote Spider-Man Life Story, which had Miles at the end. So you get a little bit of
as a bad guy.
Flash good guy. So you get a little bit of fluff with me, but there ain't no black people in the story, man. Indian, you got Asian, you got Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
We're the brothers, I mean. We're not just workers, man.
Angry workers.
Get off the stage or get off the red carpet, B.
Keep it moving. I like the interaction that his writer's assistant has with Sid.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm saying I love the writer. Like, there's no winning redeeming qualities of him. He's just like old grumpy white man that, like, and they reference it later, like his writing style is just like lots of dialogue on the page, whatever he's thinking, and he's just that character.
Well, they think, that comes later, but they're like, he seems like he thinks he's the best and he's really.
Yeah. Yeah. And while Sid is just excited to go to the premieres, they gave him $5,000 and two tickets. I feel like that was an aggressive, like, hey, man, take better care of the creators. They gave him $5,000 and two tickets. And he was like, I'm going. Why not? But this guy's like, oh, I'm VIP. I'm the guy. But Sid's just happy to go.
I don't even think that's not even really, in my opinion, I don't see that kind of attention on the writer of the series.
No, they don't. They treat them both equally shitty. They don't really give credit to creators.
Yeah, it really makes me think like these are two parts of Chip Zdarsky's brain. Like he has that shitty, like,
part. Yeah, and I think Chip Zdarsky, because he is a modern art writer, a creator, I feel like he sees how they do the greats. Not obviously not Stanley. Stanley was the trophy person for characters, mm-hmm. creators, but all the other ones, everyone, they don't get invited to, you know, Jim Starlin, the guy that created Thanos and all these characters. Like,
he was in the movie.
He was in the movie, but like, did they pay him what they paid anyone else that was in the movie? They probably gave him $5,000 and two tickets.
Hey, that's more than he was making.
Well, that's what the argument of this book is like, you guys are making a gazillion dollars off of these movies, and these guys are barely paying their bills.
Yeah, right.
Buy my house.
Yeah.
Break them off. pay their mortgage on their shitty apartment.
Oh, man.
Sid is the good guy. He's our protagonist. He's who I would try to be. And I get his perspective. I really do, because I'm someone that in my head, I create a lot of characters and I want to do all these comic books. And it's like, I don't even do it to make money. Like, I don't want to create a character like our story, Patastic. I don't want to create Patastic to make an ass load of money or have an invincible show or anything like that.
It's a good, you don't, that's not the end goal, but it would be a nice.
And I think that's where his son is. His son is like, you should be getting paid because you created it. But Sid is like, I'm just happy people are reading it. Mm-hmm. Like, I created this character. I'm just happy people are enjoying it 50 years, 30 years after I wrote it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I am. It's like, I don't even give a shit to make money off any characters that I create. If people read it, I'm like, that's good. That's good for me. But also, yes, I would like to get paid.
Yeah, so we get another nice moment during the movie. They're at this new domain movie where the assistant sees the writer and he's asleep. He's bored. He doesn't care. He doesn't value the experience at all during the movie. But she looks back and Sid is like fucking eating popcorn, like really just enjoying it.
Yeah.
So it's great.
And she hates the writer, but she sticks it out as an assistant because she wants to be a comic book writer. And that's sort of, she meets Sid, which is the illustrator, on the red carpet. And she's like, I'm such a huge fan. And for him, he eats it up. He's like, oh my God, I don't get this ever. So like, yeah, this is great. She wants to be a comic book writer. And so that's sort of that amalgamation of relationship forms.
Yeah. But just to quickly kind of end up this issue, we get this moment so that the studio's been looking for like old scripts or something like that for press junket shit. The writer's like a dick and he tells her to go looking for some of these scripts or whatever. She finds one, but then she finds some old paperwork. We get a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Great cliffhanger.
But she had given her number to Sid the night before so he could text her the selfie that he took, and which was a good way to, like, that's a good callback.
I thought it was a great segue.
Yeah, but then she sends him a picture of an old contract that essentially says he owns the rights to the domain, like the comic character, that he's not getting anything from.
Yeah, which they've already made millions of dollars off of, because when the second movie came out, his kids were 16.
Yeah, they make it, they say that, like, this is the, they call it the SCU or whatever, like there's this whole movie universe.
Yeah, and the director, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, the director for the movie they're watching comes down, he's like, I'm so excited to be doing the middle movie of Phase 5, and it's very meta. It's very on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was great. And I didn't care about this book at all until he owned the character.
It was cool, but I was still kind of like, I don't know.
I didn't care about it at all, though. I was just like... As a matter of fact, I started reading it in the morning and I was like reading through it and I was like, put it down. And I was like,
yeah, there are times, Lex, there are times when you suggest a book and I'm like, can I just tell him I don't want to read this one?
You should tell me that.
Like, I'm just not going to finish this one.
Did you get through? Were you feeling that after issue one on this?
Yeah, I was.
That's freaking great. Because I was also feeling that. And I've heard so many good things about it. And I was like, yeah, it's weird because it's like, is this going to be a Chip Zdarsky thing? Because I know I like Chip Zdarsky. Because Daredevil was, you liked Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil. Yeah, that's great. That was really
good. And I continue to read Daredevil and it continues to be good. And his Batman has been good. So it's like, maybe I don't like his indie work.
Well, I mean, but Spider-Man was not good though. So it's
Spider-Man was an indie.
So here's the deal. I don't think at the beginning of the story that the strength in writing is to create a compelling character, right?
Yeah.
That you care about. And this guy comes up and like, yeah, he's a great, but there's.
I hate Miles. Well, that's at the end of the story.
He isn't likable, really, even here. And Sid is great. And the brother is fine. But it's really, I don't care that much.
I don't care. It's too real.
And that's, I think that's part of it. It's like most of the time when we're reading these books, it's to escape reality. Yeah. We don't want to think about being fucked over creators, you know? So,
and yet, Simon and I are both creators, whether we're not anywhere near like the level of, you know, Zdarsky or anybody creating books right now. But I feel like we also have an idea on like, this is real life.
Well,
like it'll hit a little home to me as it's like, it's kind of sucked. Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to make comic books?
Well, yeah, not even just comic books. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like we create this podcast. We work social media. I do the photography thing. You're all over Twitter, like making connection, and still we're in the same spot. You know what I mean? Like we're working hard. So it's like, this is tough. This is too real for me. So yeah, anyway. So I guess we'll just start issue two. So that's a cliffhanger for issue two, is that he has this contract.
And the character's name is a bit on the nose for me.
Who?
The character's name is The Domain, and it's like,
oh yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Take it away, issue number two.
Way on the nose. Public Domain number two. After last issue's bombshell revelation. Oof. I was in my head as you were reading the first description. I was like, "Damn, that fool can't read."
I was, I was struggling.
Here I am doing the exact same thing.
I was struggling with the first one.
All right. After last issue's bombshell revelation, the Dallas brothers turn to the one person who can save them, Sammy Sockham. Note to speculators, this is the first appearance of Sammy Sockham, which is funny.
It's funny because Chip Zdarsky also wrote all of the, and I edit, he did like snarky remarks, and I cut all of his like snarky remarks out. Because in the first synopsis, he was like, comic book creators aren't properly acknowledged and compensated for their creations. Isn't that funny? And then he like created like another anecdote, and I was like, what is that? I'm not going to read that.
Yeah.
And so I cut out all of his like anecdotes, all this stuff.
Yeah, comics. I mean, comics in general. The commentary here. I mean, you love to hate them. Like, we love the stories, but there's so much shit that happens with them that it's like, is this even likable? Like, all right.
And like the translation between like mainstream picking it up as like a pop culture thing. I feel like you and I maybe, you know, I know that you stopped reading comics long or years ago, but.
I just stopped collecting. It was just too much.
So we had an understanding of like, this is what comic books are, kind of. And then the movies kind of changed that perspective on like, oh, this doesn't work when you kind of add a real world element to it. But it's like a weird disconnect. It's like, it works corny and it's terrible in comic books, and we kind of realize that it sucks, but when you add that like real world element to people that don't read comic books, it adds a disconnect.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the Batman movie, like Batman. I honestly like Batman a lot.
Michael Keaton Batman?
All Batmans.
Yeah.
Batmans. Everybody likes all the Batman. Batman's cool. Batman is a stupid character. Like if you really get down to like real world brass tacks, like Batman.
You're gonna get us in trouble. You're gonna get us in trouble.
All right, well, whatever.
I got some comments on our... Well, we made fun of Batman falling from outer space. We got some remarks from that one.
Oh, well, fuck him. That was a dumb sequence. I know it's a comic book, but still, come on. Like,
it's a little dumb.
If he's Superman, make him Superman. That's all I'm saying. Give him powers. Yeah. I don't care. Give him powers. Yeah. Don't say he's human.
Give him powers.
I'm fine with that. At any rate. And I'm the first, okay, sidebar. I'm the first in line to be like, and he's just a dude. And so it's so cool. But there's a fine line between like All-Star Batman when he paints the whole Batcave yellow to fuck with Green Lantern. Like, that's funny.
That's cool.
And I can deal with that. But falling from outer space is stupid.
Well, and to add a little bit onto the sidebars, my favorite comic character is Madman. He is a dude that died and was brought back to life in a Frankenstein situation and then gained powers from that. Like, but the context and that is part of the entire story. It's not like rich dude becomes a ninja who is a detective who can survive in outer space.
He's not only one of the smartest people in the world, he's
one of the richest.
He's one of the richest. He's an expert in hand-to-hand combat.
Olympian.
He's an inventor. He made the Batmobile. Well, in some fictions, I guess he doesn't.
They started making it Lucius Fox, but
yeah,
he made all of his stuff until then.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, everyone listening. I'm sure they're like, oh, motherfucker.
Anyway, these motherfuckers hate Batman.
They don't know shit about Batman. Anyway, the point is, Batman is a ludicrous character. I love Batman just as much as the next person. But
I love ludicrous characters.
If you really think about a guy dressing...
I'm in the Batcave.
wearing things, a suit with ear. He's a furry, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Batman is a furry that beats people up. All right,
he's a psychopath.
He's a crazy person. I love him. I love Batman. I have a shit ton of Batman stuff. Batman. I have a lot of Batmans. And I like the cringiest of all Batman, which is The Dark Knight Returns. So.
Oh, I thought I was going to say Adam West. I love Adam West.
No, Adam West. He gets a lifetime pass from cringe.
We both are kind of feeling the same way after issue number one. Where are you feeling with issue number two, man?
At the beginning of this issue, at the end of the last issue, and the beginning of this issue, you know, we get this bombshell that he may have the rights to the domain, which is amazing. Because
it would be crazy.
Yeah, you're thinking like this is going to turn their life around. Like, you know, all that money that Joel Schuster and
Jerry Siegel,
Jerry Siegel made, or back, you know, their family, the estates or whatever, made some money back from Superman. And
well, Go ahead.
I remember
when Man of Steel came out. I remember when Man of Steel came out, it was like a big deal because they weren't referencing the creators. And it was like a big deal that they even put them in the credits, like created by Siegel and Schuster. And they started putting that at the beginning of all of the movies after that. And like, yeah, that was the, oh, we're doing it now, even though we're making a gazillion dollars and we're giving them $5,000.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's crazy. There's a part in this book that pisses me off like that. Yes. But in the same with Bill Finger and Batman, like these people are getting dick, right?
Yeah.
But you think, maybe with the rights, they can turn it around a little bit.
Surely, but, yeah. That's a game changer.
We also know in this story and in real life that it doesn't matter. This is Disney. Disney has an army of lawyers and an infinite amount of capital.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that they didn't romanticize it. And I don't know if it's in this issue, but they say, like, they go to meet a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, hey, we got this document saying that my dad owns the character. And they're like, it's, hey, that's great. Issue. That's great. You got that document. That's legally binding. It still works. But you were going up against a multi-million dollar corporation, they'll tie you up in court until you die. And it's like, yeah, a waste of your time. And even the dad is like, do we want to do this?
Yeah. You're going to be tied up at least a decade. Like,
yeah.
I think it's weird that their lawyer offers them drugs, but
that was a weird thing. That must be like a personal anecdote, because that's funny.
Yeah. Do you want something? You want a pill that'll make you happy or sad? I do think it's funny. He goes, when will this get done? And she says, 2 weeks.
Yeah. The brother is aggro. Miles, the main character, what we think of as the main character, he's becoming more aggressive. There's got to be more to that story.
Well, yes. Yeah.
We don't know yet, but there's.
As it unfolds, but he is a dickhead. Like, yeah, he doesn't seem like he's doing this for the quote unquote family.
No, it seems like he's doing it for money.
Yeah, he's doing it for himself in one way, yeah, shape, or form. So,
yeah. And while maybe he's like the golden child of the family, the younger fuck up brother is the more redeeming character, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, he lies to his parents about being in a kickboxing tournament or whatever. Like, yeah, all that's like lame. But he seems like the more redeeming character, in my opinion. He cares, mm-hmm, more about his family, cares about his brother. Miles, who we've been introduced from the beginning, doesn't have any of that.
Yeah.
I don't like him at all.
No. He's a douche. After they meet with the lawyer or whatever, I do like this interaction where the wife says, dinner's in the usual spot. And so I like the sequence where he's like looking around the house. He's looking in the microwave, in the refrigerator, like he doesn't know what she's talking about. And then he sees it down in the art room near his drafting table.
That hurt.
It kind of triggers this memory of like, he wasn't, like we were mentioning earlier, he wasn't really around for his kids because he was always working.
He was the dad. He was like the traditional old school dad that like worked to put food on the table. He says that.
Yeah, yeah. He has buzz cut and everything.
It was that was sad because like there are times that you and I are trying to create something. We're doing this. We're trying to make something out of our passions. And, you know, it takes away from like just being with other people.
Right. And well, I mean,
not to that extreme, but also just like it kind of hits home. Like, damn. Sacrifices that you make.
It's even like what we're talking about, if we were trying to do conventions or anything, it's difficult because that means you're leaving responsibilities to go and try to make whatever work.
Yeah.
So I do find it interesting, like his wife, you know, she seems really supportive, but she also seems like angry. I'm not really sure.
A little bit of resentment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For all the... She seems very supportive, but also mad that he spent all that time doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine someone that is a homemaker, housewife in that era. I would imagine most of those ladies have a bunch of like pent up. That's just hard, man. Like being at home and being like the person that handles everything. That's it gets glossed over a lot because people quote unquote think, oh, I'm at work, so I'm doing my part. It's just, I don't know. I get it. You know, I can see where she's coming from.
Yeah, I get that. Sorry, people, for that. I'm banging around. I like quit paying attention and I'm moving stuff around on my desk. I forget. So
in this issue, also, the son, again, I don't like Miles. He's gung ho about it. He's the dad's like, I don't want to do this, but he still takes it on his own. He goes to Singular Studios. And he's like, hey, I need to talk to this guy. And I love that none of this is romanticized. I'm starting to dig this about this book. The receptionist is like, I don't think he's gonna leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy goes in. We've met people like that are just like, you could tell they're bullshit. Hey, Miles, I haven't seen you since you were 16. You're about to be 34. I haven't seen you since 16. He's like bullshitting him. And then he just like starts insulting him also. Like, oh, you're fucking trying to get some of your dad's money, you piece of shit. You suck.
Yeah. 180 real quick.
Yeah. It's just like he knows like, oh, I know what this is. I need to squash this. But then, you know, Miles says, I got this document. We're going to see you guys in court. And real sleazily, the guy's like,
take a picture. He's like, gotcha. He goes, can I get a copy of that? He's like, no, not yet. And he takes a picture of his screen.
And then kicks him out with the only other black person in this book. Security receptionist. Guard.
Oh, yeah, that security guard, but also receptionist. But she might be not.
Sadarsky dog. Black. Come on, man.
One thing.
Black character, bro.
One thing that you were talking about earlier that really gets brought up in this is like Miles says he's unhappy and the guy's like, oh, you seem pretty happy when I gave him $5,000 to plane ticket. And then he's like, well, that's not enough. I see this, this, and this all around town. And he's like, yeah, but I mean, like, there's so much cost with it. What? And it's like that bullshit excuse that this giant corporation.
Yeah. Yeah. He even says like, well, your dad created it, but there's been 100 creators that have added on to it over the years. And it's like, that makes pay all of those people accordingly. Like, no one's saying, fuck those people. They're saying, like, take care of all the people that offered you the opportunity to make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
When you have a movie like Endgame that makes over $1 billion, no one needs a giant chunk of that.
Mm-hmm.
No one needs 50% of that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, the creator of those characters should be making more money than freaking Robert Downey Jr., right?
Right?
That's a perfect world that we don't live in.
We do not live in that.
Anyway, he gets thrown out. That was kind of a funny thing. He goes, don't take away the only part of my job I like.
I did like that, but I do not like the main character Miles so far. I just do not like him. I like the brother, the fuck up brother, tattoo artist more.
Yeah, it's that one sequence later is funny. We get kind of a back and forth with the I can never remember his name with the writer. He's playing golf. He gets a phone call about the document, and then he fires his assistant. We don't know that yet, but he like knows he fires her. Oh, man. The big reveal, I think, here. Oh, one thing, Miles was married, not married right now.
Uh-huh. And I think the big reveal in this issue, I don't want to cut you off, but the big reveal of this issue, and for me, is the Sid?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas? Sid's wife finally opens up and says, listen, like, I get it. You weren't there. We're not fighting about that. Like, it was almost all for nothing. You know, that was our life. We dealt with it. We made we made our life the best we could. But like, now you're just so okay with someone making a gazillion dollars off of it. Like, what was it for? Like, you put in all the real work and like built this fan base and you're okay with just like letting it go. And so she finally lets that out and she's like, I kind of lose respect for you because you're being really passive about it and your kid, you're ignoring your kids just like you did back in the day, even though they're adults, like they're fighting more than you are. Where are you at? And like, that's kind of like the crux is where he also knows as a dad that there's more to the story. He does know his kids and we learned about that later on, but he's like, hey man, but if this is what you need, I got you. I'll do it. Fine. Mm-hmm. He's sort of passive. And as a passive person, I really relate to that, man.
Yeah.
Like if you needed me, I would help you out. I would, I mean, anybody, I 100% would give my all to anyone else, but I'm also a person that doesn't really care about a lot of stuff. So I'm like, for me, I'm chilling. As long as I'm good and my bills are paid, like I don't care about a lot of anything else. If you need me, I got you, but I'm good. I'm not going to fight for some shit that I know I'm going to lose fast.
Right. Yeah. I just noticed something kind of funny before we get into the end of the book. They're at this hot dog stand, Sid and Miles, and he's got a warm hot dog, $4, veg, tofog, $7, soda pop, $1, water, $10.
That's real life.
Yeah.
That's real life. So anyway. And it's going to be Dasani. Full soul. Yeah.
The big reveal here is that Sid is talking to Miles, and Miles, he's like, why are you being like this about this whole thing? He's like, are you in trouble again? He's like, yeah, dude, yeah. I messed up again. It's like, ooh, so he's not perfect.
I hated it. And it was that's like the emotion that they want you to have, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, I feel like it's an intentional emotion. I was like, this motherfucker, man.
Yeah. Not a fan.
I thought you were sticking up for your dad. I thought it was like, up until this point, I thought you were like, I love my dad so much and people aren't respecting him for what he is. I was like, I was behind Miles in that, even though he was a dick. But now it's like, he doesn't even really give a shit. He thinks his dad's a joke. And yeah. we learned about it later on that he doesn't even take that serious. He's just like, I know I can get X, Y. It's just fucking Miles is the worst character.
Hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
Chapter 3, Past Mistakes, Public Domain, issue number 3. Big things happen. Featuring the fan favorite new character, D. Donovan. And I agree. Probably one of my favorite characters of the book. That's her on the cover. I think I have a thing for powerful. And this, again, is coming from Chip Zdarsky. He wrote all the synopsis. It's not for me. But also, I think I have a thing for powerful women. It has a lot to do with the stuff that happened to me as a child. I don't really want to get into it here. Chip Zdarsky wrote the synopsis. I think that I would be annoying writing synopses too, so I'm not mad at it. What do you think about issue number 3? We do get D. Donovan.
I like her. I mean,
she's cool.
She's cool.
I have more of an appreciation to her, I think, like later on when she talks to her brother and she's like, it's done. And he's like, God damn it. Why do you always have to talk like a bomb bill?
Yeah. This issue starts off with a bang because we start to see what Miles might be in trouble for, right?
Oh, he fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bad at about owing people money.
In college, apparently, he was a gambler and he has these very sweet bookies that come in. They don't seem sweet, but they are.
Yeah, they're weird. They're kind of like the henchmen in Sin City, like the in the movie, yeah. Like those two guys, like Nick Offerman and that other guy that are talking about art or whatever.
See, in my head, I thought it was like the henchmen in Venture Bros. They're all slightly relatable. Because, and it's not in this issue, but later on I was like, damn, don't be mean to these guys.
Yeah, they're like, how did you get this job? Yeah, right. But also, what's also revealed is not only does the dad give them the money, whatever, that his son owns.
When he's in college.
But he also punches, he beats him up.
Which I thought was like, damn, that's the main character. The protagonist is Sid. Mm-hmm. He's the hero on the hero's journey. Because Sid, they're in Miles's dorm. They're beating him up. They're like, you owe us $500 or $5,000, whatever, we're gonna beat you up. And Sid walks into his son's room and he's like, listen, my son owes you $5,000. I'll give you $5,000. That's fair. That's what, he took the money from you, I give it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're square. That's logistics. But you also hurt my son. And he takes his glasses off and I'm like, damn, Sid's the main character. Miles sucks. We also see, I can't remember what the brother's name is, but he's a tattoo artist. He's a tattoo artist, and it would be legit the worst tattoo artist.
That shit was so funny, man.
Not that he's bad. Great tattoos, but like, the person goes in there for a tattoo and he kind of like does his interpretation of it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if that's known ahead of time, if it's like, hey, this is what I do, you tell me what you want, I do my interpretation, that's great. You're going for the art, you know? But this person wanted a specific like shark logo and he does his own version of it with his own, you know, added on to the quote. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
He gets fired though. Realistic.
Yeah, the no fear with understanding. That's great. Really
it's not good. As great as the other chick that he was tattooing. He was tattooing a chick. It gets fired. She wants a Chinese symbol on her back. But instead of drawing that, he's writing white people. Yeah. And he's like illustrating it out because I don't have any Asian symbols on me. I don't think you do either. But
oh, I've got a lot, man.
One of my closest friends has a Japanese tattoo inside his bicep. And I always ask him what it means. And he says something different every time. So it's funny.
Yeah.
His gambling problem, Miles does. Still, he picked it back up as an adult. Same guys coming to beat his ass. They're like, he's like, yo, give me a. He got fired after punching douchebag Chris Evans, obviously. But he's like, give me a week. I'll make it happen. I'm broke. And they're like, all right, man, you got a week. But then they go outside and there's a limo waiting for him with his name. And they're like, I'm not hurt. Or he's like, I'm not mad, but I'm hurt that you lied to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought that was so great.
Mr. Moneybags, yeah.
Mr. Money. And then he gets the name Mr. Moneybags. He meets D. Donovan. What do you think about that interaction?
Well, she's exactly... Well, one, she's like shitty. But she's exactly what you imagine when you think of like... these
execs,
exec lawyer, like ugh.
I thought it was great. She was like, everybody calls me D, and he was like, well, D, and he's like, no, you call me Mr. Mr. Power move.
I don't like her though.
No, I don't like her either. She's a good villain though, as far as like if in this normalized ass story, if we're doing protagonist and villain, she's a good bad guy.
She's a good corporate avatar.
Yeah.
We also get a look. We find out that the writer's assistant did get fired, and she's like talking to her roommate, black guy. There you go.
We got it. We got a few. They're like real. They're not high up though. No execs.
Extraneous characters.
No execs. D. Donovan should have been black.
Yeah. Well, no.
But this is real life. But this it wouldn't be their real life then.
You would be like, well, she's a villain now.
Miles should have been black. But also, then his dad wouldn't be writing comic books in the 50s. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, the assistant is convinced by a roommate to text Sid because he essentially, quote unquote, got her fired. And if there's any kind of litigation, then she's owed some money. And I appreciate here, they're like, oh, well, we'll take care of her. But first, we need to take care of this.
Yeah, the son, he says that, but it's almost just like,
well, that
I'm talking about it.
Not only that, but like they don't
like even a little bit.
They don't even consider it in their negotiations.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. But I'm trying to think about this issue specifically. They meet with the lawyer again. And I think they're going to meet with D. Donovan at the end of it. I don't think they close yet.
No, they do.
They do close. So they go into the negotiations for everything. The brothers have to go away. They can't go to it. And Miles is like, I think I set this all up. I'm good, man. I think dad's on board. Mom's on board. I think we're about to get paid. I'm good. He also owes $60,000, $50,000, whatever, to these bookies, which I'm really a stickler about money. If I owe anybody $60,000, I'd kill myself.
Yeah. If it's not like an institution like a hospital or
college, someone. Like yo, college debt, not real. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, those numbers are magic.
You get my $35 a month and we're good. You don't exist besides $35. But if someone came to my door and was like, you owe me $60,000 next week, I'd be like, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to kill myself in front of you. First of all, you're not getting your money, and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Leave it to my kids. See you later.
Yeah, my kids will get you when they get the job. I'm sorry. They don't worry about it. And I think it's going to be this long litigation, but mom is instantly like, oh, we're done. And do they tell, I can't remember, do they tell them what the verdict of the litigation is? Everyone's excited, though. Everyone's happy. And Miles is like, how is everyone happy?
Yeah, no, they do explain it.
Can you explain it to me? Can you remind me what it is? Because,
well, so they get, so the deal is they get $60,000, which covers his debt.
To the cent.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, ask for at least.
You could ask $100,000.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably could have got $1 million out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably could have got the same deal with $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, he also, the dad owns comic rights. He now owns the comic rights for domain.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, we can publish the domain comics. I've got the rights there. But it's kind of like the way the X-Men deal worked out or whatever. Like any future characters that they write.
It's like a deal I've never seen before.
It's really weird. It's like
it's because the Singular, the Marvel company of this world, can continue to also print domain books with their own characters. Mm-hmm. They can't release any media promoting any of the old characters, but Sid can't produce any media sort of like a line, like, you know, like insinuating that it's connected. So in Miles's eyes, it's like, what did you really get? You're not connected to their main universe. You get no money from the movies. They do get a licensing deal.
Yeah, it explains it more
yeah.
in the next one. So we can just read that.
Yeah, let's go to issue number 4.
Issue 4, okay. Public domain number 4. The legal battle is done, but the fighting has just begun. Sid looks to his future as Miles runs from his past. Can he ever find happiness? Can any of us? Honestly, I'm not sure. I think the most we could ever hope for is to feel content. But what do I know? I'm killing myself writing and drawing comics.
That's Zdarsky, and I appreciate that. He has a great class on creating comic books, and he's very candid. But like, it kind of sucks. But it's also it's like the proverbial artist thing. It's like the process of creating art kind of sucks, but when you're done, it's fulfilling for you.
Sometimes. So basically,
I would hope most of the time.
Yeah, the breakdown here is. Says here can now publish domain comics featuring all the characters he helped create from 1977 to 1983. Any new characters created in his future publications will be owned outright by him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's kind of like X-Men. Like they kept killing off characters because like Fox, they didn't want to use them in Fox productions, and anything new was owned by Fox, is from my understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a weird, doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's more of like it makes sense for Sid. Like, it seems like a Sid deal.
Well, he says, and also Singular can't make any media based on your future storylines or new characters.
Yeah, so if he does create these badass popular characters, they can't use it without breaking them off a lot of money. And at this instance, we're like, damn, that does kind of suck. But the way we see Jester or whatever his name, Jasper, react to it, it's like maybe he's scared because he's like, oh, damn, what if they create something really good?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to undermine everything that I quote unquote ever did. My shit kind of sucks. And it's like, and he knows that they can create something good. Sid also knows that. The son is reluctant because he doesn't take the medium serious. The new chick that's brought onto the team wants to shoot her shot. And the free spirit brother is like, but whatever. I got fired from my job.
Well, there's a there's a lot there.
Yeah.
So again, Miles is being a terrible person. He's like, you only did this, I'm walking home, whatever. He decides he's going to skip town. We get that funny interaction between Dee and her brother, which it's like, it's done. He says the Bond villain thing, which is a funny quote.
It was so good. Yeah, she was like, ah, it's done. He was like, God, why can't you just talk to me like a normal person?
Yeah.
It's funny. We also get Biscuit and whatever the other guy's name is.
Yeah. Before that, Miles gets a phone call from his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically is like, I'm going to run away. My parents can keep the 60 grand. I'm just going to run away from this problem. But these guys are like willing to kill him. So
yeah. Break
his father's legs. I don't know if that's true. Maybe they're just bluffing. Well,
the thing is that they say, you can leave, but we will also we'll get the money from your dad and we will break his legs and we will kill you.
Yeah.
You could take us to your dad right now. We'll get the 60 grand and we'll leave.
Yeah. Minus the 2 grand for funeral costs. They say,
yeah. And they say even we'll spare a couple of grand for your funeral costs. But it's like, you think about that, not junkie mentality or like that addiction mentality where there's like, I'd rather just leave. I'm good. I'd rather be take myself out of the equation. So much that he's like, he takes him to his brother's apartment. And the commentary is great because the Biscuit guy is like, man, your dad is a creator. They made all those I love those movies. He should be living way better than this. This apartment's kind of sad. You guys should sue them. It's like, yeah. You should make more money than this.
I love that interaction.
Go ahead. I got nothing.
No, I just love that interaction. He brings him, he's thinking that his brother's going to help in a fight or something. So he brings him to his brother's apartment. Now they know where he lives, which is stupid.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like junkie mentality. It's like, yeah. Oh, I got this figured out. We'll beat their ass. I'll take it to my brother's house. Me and my brother will beat their ass.
I love it. He's like, there's the guys. Get him.
Yeah. He's like, are those the guys that you owe money? He's like, yeah, they are. He's like, listen, I'm a pacifist. We should just smoke and talk about this.
I really do wish that it could have been worked out a little differently. But they get in a fight, and I knew this. I knew it was going to be a joke gun or whatever. But the brother gets knocked out. He finally pulls out like this gun and scares him off. That's another funny interaction.
It was funny.
I abhor gun violence. How could you? You know, these two.
Yeah, he was like, Biscuit's parents died. He's like, in 2020, 45 whatever people died from gun violence. And he's like, Biscuit's parents were gunned down in front of him. Like Batman's story, we're gunned down in front of him. And then he's like shivering. He's like, I swore that I would never use gun violence to gain money. It's like, why would you do that to him? Even though they are like enforcers.
Yeah, you traumatize these.
Yeah, it's stupid, but it was also kind of funny because the brother's like, what did you think was going to happen? You thought that you were going to bring them to my house? I was going to beat their ass. And he was like, I thought we'd beat their ass. He's like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's like, and that's why I say it's like the typical junkie addict mentality. And if you're a junkie, you're listening to this podcast, the number is.
Yeah. If you're seeking help. Basically, we kind of get to this moment with the dad and the sons that, first of all, I'm going to bring this up now. The 60 grand is never brought up again.
No. Which is the we'll be back with our boss. Our boss won't be happy. Never brought up again.
Not brought up again. But then they get back to the house. The dad's like, listen, they've made my guy. This is why I want to do this, because they've made my guy like this fascist weird. It's like the Punisher, you know, they've made him this symbol for fascism.
Or like the Snyder cult dudes. They make him extreme, like gritty thing. Because when they leave the litigation, she's like, hey, what do you want to do? And he's like, I really want to stop by a comic shop. And so he goes to pick up a book. The brothers reconcile and they're all back here now.
Yeah.
And essentially he's saying, like, I want to leave a legacy for my kids. Like, my one son is a karate master tattoo artist, and my other son is obviously a fuck up. This is my thing. This is what I want to do. I want to leave this to you guys.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, damn, that's really steep, man. I like that.
It's really sweet. Where it all comes together is that this woman the assistant, I guess, flew here. She was on a plane, I guess.
Yeah.
Flies all the way to meet this creator and be like, where's my money? You know?
Yeah. And bitch, like, I got fired.
Yeah, what? Well, she gets fired, but she's all up in his face, I guess, because, you know, we'll take
care of you. They said, we'll take care of you. Like, yeah, we'll take care of you. And then the radio's like, well, she says, she's like, you didn't text me back.
I guess, honestly, she probably never got a text back from the first text that she sends him, because he says to his son, we'll take care of her. But yeah, there's no
correspondence after that. Yeah, she just loses her job, which in her head, she's like, well, they're working on, obviously, like, yeah. So she's going on assistancing jobs with Jasper. She's on the golf course with him. She doesn't know anything happened. But when she sees him look at him, she's like, oh, well, they're doing something. I'm going to get fucking fired now.
Yeah.
Damn, that does suck.
So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he says, it was fake. Welcome to Dallas Comics.
Yeah, they're looking for a good writer, and there she is. She wanted to get in comic writing. The last big thing is that Jasper, right? He's going to...
He's back, baby.
He's convinced himself that whatever they make is going to be so good that he's got to compete with that.
Yeah, or it will discredit everything he's ever done. So he's like, I got to come back. He'll win the favor of the people. It's like a Rocky underdog story.
Yeah.
And that's public domain issue number 4. We're going to go into number 5. After the bombshell revelation of the last issue, can the Dallas family come together to start this wild new chapter in their lives? Past, present, and future. That's last week's. Past, present, and future. Will Deadlock's journey across the time
That's great. So I guess it just ends with lives.
I hope so. I'm going to look it up and reread it. God, that's great. That's funny. I should have just read it and not said anything to see if someone would notice. That's freaking great. Yeah, that was it. After the bombshell revelation of the last issue, can the Dallas family come together to start this wild new chapter in their lives? Dun, dun, dun. We start this issue out with a parallel. I had to read it twice. Because I was like, is somebody named Nathan? Is the son... his name Nathan? I was like, is Miles? I was like, is his name Nathan? I was like, I was so confused. But that's just me like side reading it. Because they don't.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like, I think it's clever the way he laid out those panels. So they would be like, oh, the concurrent or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe not concurrent, but
sort of parallel, but like, weirdly parallel, because we have not gotten any other parallel stories or parallel panels in this book to just like spring it on the last issue.
Yeah, I just went ahead and stopped reading it that way and just read it straight down and straight down. So
it's like, someone's like, I didn't read the last issue.
Yeah, I don't even know how it ends. So I'm excited. Yeah,
the parallel was great. I do not like Miles, man.
No, he's not.
He's a piece of shit. Like, even his dad is like, you're the first. It's like so nice. You're the first person in this family to graduate. Congrats. And he's like, shh, I'm not surprised. You guys are fucking idiots. You just suck.
Yeah.
Even though his dad's one of the most prolific comic book creators in history. His dad's like Jack Kirby. It's like if you're Steve Kirby and you're shitting on your dad, even though you don't do anything with your life. Hi, I'm Teddy Kirby, and my dad was fucking mean to me, and he sucks. But then he even says, like, hey, you went to school to be a writer. I get you a job writing comic books. And he's like, fucking comic books aren't real. Gross.
Yeah. That's not a real job. Even though
I'll be writing novels.
He wants to be a journalist or a novelist.
Yeah. It's like, when my novels come out, I'll be recognized for my own work. And this is like, we know that doesn't happen, so it kind of sucks for you. But they assemble the team, essentially, is what this issue is.
Right.
How are you feeling in issue 5?
Oh, man. I don't know. I didn't read it.
Let me tell you about issue 5.
Yeah, I like her, the assistant. I'm so terrible with names. I like her come up you know, seeing that story of why she's such a fan and like how that was connection with her father. So it's really cool.
I relate to that dude a lot because it's like the bullshit. Yeah. He's like, oh, these are worth money. Like that's, I say that.
Well, it's interesting because it's like, that's her connection with her father. Whereas like Miles is like, that's the disconnect.
I hate my dad. Again.
So.
Yeah. And then she like sees his art table and she's like, oh, this is it. Like you make fun of it. Miles calls it the monument. Because in their life, it was like, that's where their dad was, always creating these characters. And she's like, you see it this way, but in my eyes, he's creating the story for millions of people. Like, you know, you're totally jaded, like spoiled brat almost.
Yeah.
And also, we didn't talk about, there's this character that lives in the neighborhood of the dad who just like is a collector and has these classic books who has Sid sign it and like make notes.
Yeah.
Pure collector.
Him out. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate him because that would be me. If I lived down the street from like Jack Kirby, I'd be like, yo man, I won't bother you, but I got these books. I don't want these books from you, but I got these books. If you could write in some notes for me, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this issue, he comes to full fruition. They're starting their own publishing company. So how do you feel about that?
Again, I don't know. Like for all the good things, for all the reality that there was, this is the most unrealistic part of it.
Especially that part.
Yeah, but it gets, well, this guy just like, I don't think we're there yet. But
no, we're not there yet. Before that, we get D. Donovan's assistant is like trying to be an assistant. And he's like, we have this. We have to go to legal after this. And she's like, yo, man, we just cheated this dude out of a gazillion dollars. Go get a lap dance.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
And then Jester comes to Marvel Studios and he's like, I gotta get on my typewriter. I have to create I'm taking over as the writer of Domain. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. It's like, oh, I need to go research what happens to this person.
Yeah. He's like, I need you to send a fax to the artist. And he's like, faxed? What the fuck? I thought that was great. And then they also like the other creators shit on like, dude, that dude sucks. And he hears it.
Yeah. Said, when's the last time you read any of his work? Which is something that we do in the Thick Cut. If you guys haven't, it's reading old work that you're like, oh, it's fantastic. It's so good. And
there's a reason why we don't go too far back because this shit sucks.
this season has been good so far, but there's a lot that is, you know,
Yeah.
So anyway, this guy's like way out of his breath. Some of that is fun to read back on, but it has its place, but not now. Now is not the place.
No. And he's like a Stan Lee character. Like he's like an evil Stan Lee character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas comment. This is the unreal, surreal moment. Page 110, if you're reading the trade with us. I think this is what Simon's talking about. They go to this. The dad has saved up enough money in his life. He's like, I'm going to do this. We're going to start a publication company. We're going to self-publish new domain books. Which honestly isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
If someone in our family was like, if your grandpa was owned Batman. Shit, I own Batman now. I'm too old. But then it was like, Simon, Lex, write the story. Yeah, we're going to do that.
Well, with Batman, it would be difficult because he's got so many shit. Anyway, I know this is a hypothetical.
But like a popular character, whatever popular character. Captain America.
Captain Planet.
Give me Captain Planet. I'll write a Captain Planet story. But they go to this location. Before this, they talk about how bad the pictures looked, right?
Yeah.
The wife is like, I don't want to go because the pictures look like crap. And before they walk into the door, it's like sitcom moment.
They have the picture.
The dad's like, can't look worse than the picture. Then they open it up and it's like a tech startup.
Yeah, fully decked out. They have Wacom. They have like Intuos tablets.
The big Wacom. Yeah, like the big tablets.
Like that's a computer.
Yeah, she's like, are you guys fucking with me? Was this like a prank the whole time? The chick that came on to be a writer, she's like, if you guys have been this rich, I'm going to get my own fucking apartment. But then the Indian guy that we haven't talked about the entire time, he's sort of been this like background character, loves the domain and loves Sid so much that he's like, listen, I created my company on collectibles, essentially like domain collectibles, and then connecting with people that had collectibles. So,
so basically, this guy had a startup and got rich from it. It's like eBay. He created eBay.
Yeah. Or like Mercari or one of those other like side collecting websites. And he's like, listen, I'll fund this for a year. Let's see what you guys just create comic books that I want to. And his dad gets down to the drawing board and creates what I think is a good image.
I thought the same thing. But they start dogging it. They say it's old school and it doesn't look
I was like, damn, that's great. But the dad's because you gotta think about it, Chip Zdarsky's illustrating, and we've seen his illustrations the whole time, which is not traditional comic book art. But then we see this like traditional comic book art. I'm like, damn, that's great.
Yeah.
But then the son is like, God damn it, we're fucked. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Oh God, he hadn't drawn in a while. Yeah.
And then I didn't see it happening. The wraparound connect. Did you see it happening?
No.
The brother is a tattoo artist who's good at inking.
Yeah.
And so on top of his dad's rough sketch, he inks it. And he's like, oh, this is like tattooing.
Because, yeah, it's not that bad. I just happen to know exactly where shadows need to go and everything like that.
But when he was a tattoo artist, he did his own thing. And so in this, he's like, quote unquote, doing his own thing. And
I know a lot of tattoo artists that cannot draw, so that parallels a little
tough. And they're doing it. They're going to start their own comic book company, and that's how it ends. Let's make some comics.
That's how it ends. Yeah, I was banding.
That's how it ends.
That's it.
I thought there was another page.
Yeah.
I think public domain might come back. I don't know. Let's talk about it. Sam, what did you think when I first, and these are the train of thought where I am when reviewing this. What did you think when I first brought it to you? Public domain.
Well, when I saw Chip's name, Chip Zdarsky's name, I was really, really excited because it's one of the names that kind of sticks in my head. Like
Jaren was so good. Yeah.
I have trouble remembering some of the names. Like, I know Dan Slott's good. I know that Chip Zdarsky's good. Like, I think of those people. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. Good, good, good. You know.
Alley-oop. Right. Daniel Warren Johnson, alley-oop. That,
yeah,
definitely. In Daniel Warren Johnson's defense, zero misses.
Yeah. Yep.
Not a single one.
Yeah. Definitely. So anyway, I was like, oh, that's exciting. And it's an indie book. You know, I'm curious where this is going to go.
Yeah, we need to get indie in there.
Yeah. Indie in there. He didn't say an Indian there.
We need to get Indian in there.
So, yeah, I was excited. But first issue wasn't drawing me in at all. Second issue, you know, the dealing with the legalities of owning a property or whatever was an interesting part of it,
once I got to the point where I was like, oh, this is all real, it changed it for me a little. I was like, I can appreciate this differently.
I don't know. I think again, it was just too real for me. I didn't. I don't know. It was just too real. It was like there was no fantasy to it. And when I'm reading one of these books, if I'm going to spend the time to read it, I don't read nonfiction. Nonfiction is very boring to me. I mean, if I want to learn about something, I'll watch a documentary. I read fiction books. I like stuff like that. And of course, obviously, this is fiction still, but
a lot of it's rooted in, you know, I talked about it being a meta book. It's a lot of it's rooted in reality. And you and I are both creators. And I know there's varying degrees of creators. Like, you and I are both creators in our own right. And so some of this hit a little too close to home as far as
totally. Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Art-wise. I'm going to preface that Chip Zdarsky is not a comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, what did you think about the art?
Yeah, honestly, learning that later, learning that later really did put a spin on it, because I was like, well, it's not my favorite, but it's not terrible. I mean, it's just honestly, not my favorite.
Honestly, better than I could do, which is
stressful.
Yeah,
I mean, sequential art is tough, as I said. So yeah. Knowing that, it changed my thoughts on it.
I'm glad. That's why I feel like, not saying that you and I are very hard on artists. I feel like you usually were pretty cut and dry, whether we like it or not, and then we can talk about things we like. You and I can talk about things we liked in artists that we are not too fond of, and then we can talk about things that we don't like on artists that we love. You know, in this, I have like a crazy appreciation because Chip Zdarsky is a comic book writer. That was like, yeah, I like to draw too. I'll put it out. This is a story that means something to me. I don't want to bring on another artist and like do that whole process. Now, if Image or whoever puts this out wants to put it out, that's fine too. But if not, fuck it. I'll put it on my website. Yeah. You know, it's like this is a story I want to tell. And I have like a very fond appreciation for that.
Yeah.
Overall, man. Let's grade this thing and you can tell me why.
Yeah.
If you need the comic book, and once they pull this official comic book grading chart, you go to our Discord, go to the FAQ section, and it'll be at the very top.
So, yeah, I'll go ahead and go, we'll say B4.
B4, okay.
B4 has some good spots in there. And it's not to say that this book isn't well written or illustrated. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And I hate to say that because, you know, I think these indie books have a place. And I think, you know, more based in reality books have a place. But
I can appreciate that about you, man. I can appreciate that you're saying that it's not necessarily bad written. It's not like, you know. Everyone has a preference. Like you go and you purchase books, whether it be novels, graphic novels, comic books, anything you purchase is because it's sort of in the realm of things that you like. And it would be disingenuous if we only read books that we like on this show, you know? And I feel like that's a decent grade, man, because you're not saying it. You're not saying it's like
I-9. Yeah. It's not burnt or shit. It's not just the word. It's just,
And that leads me to like me thinking on how do I feel about it? And our grading chart is completely interpretive. It doesn't honestly matter what we ever grade it. It's more about like the reasoning behind it. Right. And I think I'm going to go with like an A5. Like when I first got into it, I put it down and I was like, God, Simon's going to hit me for making me read this. I got way more into it as I read it, but it was also not my cup of tea. Like I am an illustrator. I am someone that creates with various characters and stories, whether they ever come out or not. And so I like to not listen to or not deal with the sad side of that, you know, which is a lot of this, but the realistic side of it. I like to romanticize it a bit in my own head. And so to read it and see sort of this meta feeling on comic creation and exploitation of characters, it was a little bit rough to read. And that's a personal thing.
Yeah.
No reflection on like how anyone else interprets it. I feel like it was a fun read. I feel like it was well written, well illustrated, but I was always wanting it to have, that's just me. I wanted it to be like, oh no, now we're in another dimension. Now we're fighting ogres. Chip Zdarsky is a great writer. I will say that.
Yeah. I've read other things. Great.
Maybe not a Spider-Man writer, but great writer. That's all we got, guys. We're circling drain time. We're going to be behind you.
That's what you're going to say. You've never said that before.
Dramatic pause.
Dramatic pause. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram on Sime, S-I-M-E. _on_toast, simontoyportraits.com.
Ooh.
If you want a toy portrait, I got you toy portrait on simontoyportraits.com. Sorry. Yeah.
All of our other social medias at WednesdayPool.com. WednesdayPool at WednesdayPool everywhere else. We're circling the drain. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.